Well, you have you've been kind of keeping an eye on the budget hearings. Have you got any general comments to make about issues that we kind of follow closely, like the police budget, the social services situation, the fact that we're hoping that the new well, let's start with the police budget. What's cooking around the police budget?
Well, the police budget, as you might know, is 32.3% of the entire general fund expenditures, and which equals $13,059,000.
Wow.
And it seems like
that's just about as much as our police department is spending on, well, not counting overruns on the current new police station, right?
Yeah. And it seems like they're going to get their budget request this year, which is a increase over last year.
Well, what has there been an upsurge in crime that is, you know, requiring this huge amount of money to be spent by the police? What's the rationale here?
Well, there's a lot of it has to do with extra police they're getting. The police are, let me see, I got the page right here, but they're, well, actually, I guess this year they're only going to get one extra person. Mm-hmm. But basically, they were told that they're not going to, they shouldn't expect any increases in their budget over the next few years. Because from last year's budget, they were getting $12,600,000, and this year it's $13 million. So it's, they had an over $400,000 increase.
Wow. So the police department has how many members? How many officers there are in the department?
Well, their personnel says they have 129 in this coming year. Last year was 128.8. They're going to add an extra person, so it'll be 129.8.
Now, do we have any sense of whether this is large or small for a city of 50,000 people, which is more or less what Santa Cruz is?
Well, the police keep on saying that they don't have what is considered sufficient or average. You know, well, right now they're at what they consider average.
Mm-hmm.
But they want to be to what the federal guidelines are or something, you know, like police per 1,000 or, you know, numbers of officers per 1,000 citizens or something. And so they're saying that they're still below that level, but they're now at an average level.
Now, Scott, how long have you lived in Santa Cruz yourself?
Oh, I've lived here on and off since 74.
And what is Santa Cruz a particularly violent community? I mean, do we have enough police? Do we have too many police? Do we have not enough police? What's your sense as a pretty alert community member who's got his finger on the centers of government?
Well, I think, you know, at this point, there's way more police than they really need for anything. You know, it's like, I'm not sure what they're planning, you know, massive roundups or something, or bringing back witch hunts or something. But other than that, I don't know what they would need the size of the police force they have. You know, I mean, I often see, you know, such things as bicycle tickets on the mall or something, where all of a sudden five or six officers respond to that call. You know, and it's like, why do they have to have five or six officers at one bicycle ticket? You know, it seems utterly ridiculous. You know, I guess it's the same when they pull over cars. You know, if they pull over somebody in a car, then suddenly there's two or three other police cars there within minutes, and it's like, I'm not sure what they're worried about, or if it's just that they're out there so bored that once one of them finds something to do, all the rest of them want to do it too. Or
it it's too bad we don't have a police officer in the studio to talk about this. You know, we've actually had ex-police officers on the air and talked about that through that mechanism. But, you know, I share your perception. I know that it looks like endless overkill, particularly downtown on the Mall, with these trivial so-called quality of life tickets where people are harassed for, you know, sitting down on the sidewalk, riding the wrong way, riding on the sidewalk when there really is no real menace to the pedestrians. It's just, you know, a technical violation, a whole series of things. But I guess then the question would be, and I don't know if this is in the budget, does one have any sense of the breakdown of how much police time goes into this kind of nonsense, and how much money is being spent out of the public trough for this?
Not really. I mean, they break it down into different things, like administrative cost is $987,000. Police investigations are $1,629,000. Police patrol is $5,589,000. Police community services, that may be the people that are harassing people downtown, I don't know, $800,000. Police neighborhood enforcement team, $397,000. Police records and service, $2,480,000. Police traffic, $690,000. Vehicle impound program, $112,000.
You know, what we need here is a sense of how much the drug war is costing, because I'm wondering what percentage of police work actually goes into the drug war. How many people convicted are arrested for drug war, or let's say prostitution, victimless crimes? How much of the police behavior goes into going after homeless people, engaging in life-sustaining behavior that happens to be illegal and that isn't necessarily, you know, abusive? I'd love to get some kind of stats on that. Go ahead.
They don't really break down the budget in that way, and you know what they're spending their time on. You know, they also spend a lot of time chasing teenagers around.
Exactly, the attack on youth. You know, here's the thing, Scott. We've just got an in-studio guest who's arrived, and I wonder, are you going to be around, like, in the next hour? Because I'm hoping we can continue this conversation, more particularly around the issues of your kind of political inside perspective on what the current so-called progressive majority is doing on City Council or not doing on City Council around issues that are important to you and important to us. Are you going to be, like, around, I don't know, 1 o'clock, or are you due to go out?
No, I should be here for the next hour or so.
Let me take a rain check on the rest of this conversation so I can tap the mind of this new victim who's just arrived in the studio here. And I want to thank you. We've been talking to Scott Graham, a.k.a. Neptune, who probably knows more than 95% of the people, and certainly than all of the City Council on a lot of these issues. In fact, we'd suggest you run for City Council, except it would probably destroy you entirely.
Yeah, probably. I don't know. Maybe in the next 20 years or something I'll consider it, but right now I don't want to do that.
Thanks.
But anyway, Robert, thanks for calling.
We'll call you back. Don't go away.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wave your freak flag, rally round the red, black, and green. Wave your freak flag, rally round the red, black, and green. Wave your freak flag, baby. Wave your freak flag, baby.
Tell me. James let you freak flag fly, you know, when I say that fast, I'm in trouble with that. I'm told by my producer, Rick James, is a victim of the drug war. He's currently in jail. So here's a tip of the hat to Rick and his song. And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, and this is your 2.5 hour civil rights interlude on Sylvia. We've got a family in the studio, so don't be alarmed if you hear babies talking in the background. We've got equal rights for babies in this studio. I know she's not a baby, it's a toddler. And looks a little bit bigger than a toddler. What's the name of that person over there?
Jerry Spillers. She was called after Jerry Adams, the Sinn Féin. Sinn Féin president, because she was born during the peace talks in England and other places.
And you yourself are?
I'm Scottish and I'm Alison Spillers.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, Alison, you are really pleased we could come in today. You and I bumped into each other at the SCAM Inventing Our Future conference at Chicago yesterday.
Yeah.
And I guess we found we shared the same distaste and disgust. I may be speaking too strongly, that's what I felt. At seeing this conference, supposedly of a bunch of activists, but actually it looks like a bunch of people supporting the current political regime who are, some of them would like to see some changes, and are sort of, in a pathetic fashion, trying to codge a little of this and a little of that out of the powers that be. I only was there for a two-hour period, and I kicked in, I don't know, $5 or $10 only because I felt like I was drinking their coffee and I got to steal their supplies. But you were there. Did you actually pay to come to this silly conference?
Yeah, I did. I actually paid. I paid $10. I couldn't go to the second day because Frank had to work this morning and I didn't have childcare and there was no childcare provided, which I thought was an absolute sham. No, there was no childcare provided. I had to actually phone up and try and get a lift. I actually got a lift yesterday in a car from Estine Fountain, and they did manage to organise a lift for me from Fountain, but that wasn't. That was me going out of my way to try and sort that out. That wasn't advertised. And it just kind of occurred to me that, that what if you haven't got a car, you've got three young children, and you want to come to the conference, you're like a lone parent and you live in Watsonville. And how do you get there? How do you get to Cabrillo College from Watsonville for an 8 o'clock start on a Sunday morning? And I think that's...
$25 in the
class. Absolutely. I mean, I think that's an issue around participation. I mean, the first thing I did notice that the conference was, it was overwhelmingly dominated by white liberal groups, white liberal individuals. There was maybe at most 2% of the participants were actually from Hispanic and African American heritage, but 2%, certainly wasn't any more than that. And the consequences of this meant that the agenda was set by the dominant culture, as usual. The reality of this meant that disadvantaged and dispossessed groups were not heard. The voices weren't there. And this came across to me as a very much a lost opportunity for those groups to speak out. Young people, people with disabilities, homeless people, none of these groups were represented. Childcare, transportation were issues for me, but also I did notice that even the translation, there wasn't cooperation with translation. The speakers spoke far too quickly, so I think for people who were there, where English wasn't their first language, there was translation, but many times the speakers were told to slow down. The content was very academic.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would have been difficult to translate. It seemed to me because that the agenda was set by white liberals with degrees, the content tended to translate as something that you might find in a political science degree course, to be honest. It was very theoretical. And that's not what I expect from community activists.
You see, you're only here a month for whatever.
Sure.
You haven't been jaded by the realities of the Santa Cruz community. SCAM, the group that ran this community forum, and needless, the forum is still going on today at Cabrillo College. SCAM has elected the city council majority in Santa Cruz since 1983.
Okay.
So in a certain sense, they're activists, and in another sense, they're a well-established establishment who has had an overwhelming majority in the city council for the last two decades, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of had hopes of a scam revolt last year.
Right.
And we've heard a bit about this.
No, I haven't.
Well, scams, Santa Cruz Action Network, which endorsed every city council virtually with a few minor exceptions in terms of the minority members. A couple of merchants occasionally got around, and I guess they were to the right and to the wrong, but it made no difference because the scam majority passed laws criminalizing homeless people from Southern downtown. God. Recently they passed a law making it for homeless people to sleep at night. It was the same laws they've had in place for 20 years. They lessened the fine, but they refused to change the reality that more than 500 to 1,500 homeless people who live in the city limits of Santa Cruz, it becomes a $54 fine to sleep after 11 o'clock at night outside or in a vehicle.
My God.
On much private property with the permission of the owner.
That's outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. I mean, it seemed to me that the conference was a little get-together between politicians and their supporters. Mm-hmm. And it was really about endorsing their continued support for policies. It really wasn't about change. I mean, that's false advertising in my books. And I think, from what you've said, it seems to me that there's very little empathy for groups out there and people out there that are in fact marginalised by the establishment and by the system. And these are exactly the people that need to be setting the agenda for change. These are the people that need to be setting the agenda. Maybe the next step needs to be that the people who are marginalised need to set their own conference, as it were, in somewhere that in a place that's accessible, somewhere like Watsonville or somewhere like Seabright, and it should be something it could be something that's in response to the conference that SCAM have just held, and full access and equal opportunity, should be themes of the conference. Maybe that's something that could happen. And those people yesterday who led the workshops could be invited. What I found yesterday was that the people who led the workshops, you could tell that they had done it hundreds and hundreds of times before. To me, they're not the people who should be leading workshops. People who should be leading workshops are people who are dispossessed and disempowered. They should be given support and confidence to lead workshops, so that they actually set the dynamic, as it were, and set the agenda for change.
You're listening to Alison Spears, who is a mother, and what kind of work do you do in addition to that full-time job?
I've been doing community development in Scotland and England for the last 15 years, and that's very much about ensuring that local people get access to informing policy and informing decision-making by whatever means is there, and that's about lobbying. And that's about ensuring that community groups can attend meetings, ensuring that politicians are listening. Not always easy work. I've been employed outside of local government, which usually makes it a bit easier in some respects to get access.
It makes you more beholden, so it's a difficult situation too.
Yeah, it's never easy. It's never easy, but it's... my job has always been about ensuring that people get access and get their voices heard. I think it's really important.
Do you have an activist partner here with you as well?
I do, Frank.
Frank is very active. He's running around after children and making sure that she's entertained during this occasional proceeding. We invite her to speak, but we're actually, that's one language we don't know. So it's a delightful language. It's wonderful. You probably talked to a number of participants in the conference last day. Did you feel your sentiments were echoed or complimented by folks in the conference? Did a lot of people agree with you, or did you feel that a lot of folks were satisfied with how the conference was going? I noticed it was very sparsely attended.
Yeah.
Like, it was 50 people. I was told by Skip Spitzer, the co-chair of the coordinator scheme, that there was 100 people signed up.
Mm.
There were 100 people there, and there's less than have attended. Of those who did attend, do you think that there are those in that group who will be sympathetic to an alternate kind of conference? Or do you think that these are just the old guard?
I think they're sort of like, the old guard were there, but I also think maybe, half of the people who were there maybe would probably be quite receptive to something else. I mean, let me give you an example. I spoke to a woman yesterday, Martha, and I hope she's listening. Martha yesterday came from a mobile home park in Santa Cruz, in East Santa Cruz, and she arrived around 10:30 with her 6-month-old baby, and she had to come by bus. And she said that there were people at the mobile home park who wanted to come, but they couldn't because they didn't have childcare.
Hi, this is Martha calling.
Martha, are you near your radio? I take it you are.
Oh. Can you guys close that door or turn it down? My friends are listening.
No, you should keep your radio on so you can hear us, because otherwise you might not hear Allison, who you'll have to hear through the radio.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I can hear it.
Okay, good. So, Martha, you're... who are you, anyway?
Well, I am a student at UCSC. I moved over here not that recently. I did live in a hotel for a while when I first got here, but I've been here since October. I just purchased a mobile in the park in a low-income area, because I do have low income, and I really love Santa Cruz, and I really love the park that I'm living in. It's called the El Rio, and it's at the end of North Pacific, and it's a co-op, so everybody kind of works together. And I'm so glad you gave out the number, because I wanted to tell you that Allison's idea of having another conference in response to this conference, I think, is just fantastic. I think it's very sound, as she would say. And I wanted to offer the community room here at the El Rio Mobile Home Park as a place to have it.
That's great.
I wish I could offer it to you as a place to put your radio station, but I will keep that in mind as well.
Wow. And keep getting out the word for free radio. We do need a place or we'll be gone in a month, as I've mentioned. But the other thing is, we have only one line into the studio, and since we want to keep you on the line for a bit, for those who want to call in, if you want to call in and you know, note that you're trying to get in, you can call the HUF line, which is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, at 423-HUF, and our producer will take your number in case you want to be contacted later. And the other thing you can do is keep listening, and when this line gets open, just put it through a call and you can get through. But right now, let me ask you, Martha, you were at this conference. Did you know Allison before this, or...?
Unfortunately, I did not know Allison before this, but
so
I'm
this
really glad
some,
that I met her there.
Some scheme that you two have cooked up your old friends trying to sabotage poor old Scan, right?
Well, yeah, I could smell something wrong over there, but I wasn't sure exactly what it was.
And
but the more I hear about it, the more I see where the connections are and why it didn't feel quite right to me.
Well, I know that I only went out to that Scan meeting because I had a petition to dump existing CPRB chair, Citizens Police Review Board. She's not the chair now, she's the former chair, but she's the current key member, and Catherine Byers appointee on this board that's supposed to review the police. And I had a petition, and you signed it, and I guess Allison, I think, also signed it.
Yeah.
And numerous people at the conference who were part of that timid, oh, please, please don't be so stupid to the city council majority, but didn't want to say it in those terms, they also signed it.
That's comforting.
Right. They're willing to... Well, actually, there were a number of them. The real insiders would not sign it because they didn't want to offend the city council members. And therein, I think, lies the problem, which is, as I think Allison was saying, unless people are willing to really speak up and make things hot for these city council members, they are going to continue with their own agenda or what they think they can get away with or what they think that... Really, the dynamic is this: Catherine Byers is the key vote on the city council. She's an old hangover council member who was liberal in the old council, but now that she's in power, has become less so because she feels able to count on the votes of Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, the three new council members elected supposedly as great progressives to throw out the old pro. Running in the last city council election that would have sided with Councilmember Rotkin. Sorry for all this politics, all you out there who are kind of bored with these names, but this is sort of a political issue for folks downtown, for those of us who are trying to change this situation. And what's happened is all these new council members feel they can't do anything unless they get the okay from Catherine Byers. And Catherine Byers, and we saw this most dramatically under the sleeping ban hearings, where for 3 months, Byers ran us all around the merry-go-round talking about the camping ordinance instead of simply acting on the will of the voters and the will of over 3,000 city voters who signed a petition asking that sleeping be made a human right, and that they stop arresting people for sleeping, particularly if there were no legal places for them to sleep. Because of that. And instead, Byers unilaterally announced after 2 months that she could not support that change, and the other council members, two of whom were on that subcommittee, the task force called, they were Crone and Sugar, and they were at the conference, you probably saw them.
Yes.
They had nothing to say. I mean, they made some small alternate proposals when the actual council meeting came up, but they didn't lead the community by saying, we have to disagree with Catherine Byers, we feel that there's a right to sleep. Instead, they crawled into their shells, they lowered their voices to the pipsqueak range, and they simply went along with this. So Byers is really the key point here at this point. And they're all playing this political game of, let's hope that we can wait, maybe Catherine can be exchanged in 2000 for a better person and so forth. Everybody can put their rights on hold and their needs on hold for the next 2 years, and we won't say anything because we don't want to jeopardize this so-called majority, which is Byers and three other people, the three new people. I guess the name of the conference was Inventing Our Future, Progressive Policy, Activism, and Social Change. And Allison's already pointed out there was no daycare, there were no minorities really organizing the conference. I mean, it's true that somebody mentioned that at the oral comment period yesterday, and he was immediately slap-bound when Susan Martinez said, I'm Hispanic, but I think she was the only other Hispanic in the room. And she's pretty, you know, she's also a Hispanic person who is fortunate enough to be well-educated and is in the inner circle. I don't think there were any outer circle Hispanics,
no,
blacks.
There were two.
I didn't see any.
I know it was two people.
I'm sorry, there were two. Allison?
There were two, but they didn't stay. Now, that might be indicative of the fact that it was maybe not meaningful for them. And maybe their issues, and I'm sure they were, their issues weren't. on the agenda. They weren't represented. I mean, it seemed to me quite, also just another point, it seemed to me to be quite a disjointed conference. You know, community conferences tend to link up, the workshops tend to link up, they tend to link together. I mean, that's a sign of a successful conference, and needs to be measured by the fact that goals are set and people say, well, these are the things that we're going to work towards. This is what we've learned today. These are the key lessons. This is what we're going to work towards. Nothing like that was present. There was no feedback from any of the workshops. Like, you had to go around and ask people, what was your workshop about and what came out of it? And the people that I spoke to weren't really sure. I mean, everybody seemed to say, oh, it was nice. It was really nice. He had a nice, cosy discussion. It seemed to be nice, cosy discussions. That's not what I expected. When I went to, and when I signed up to go to a conference that was organised by community activists, I expected some planning to take place. Now, planning came up in one of the workshops that I was in, and there seemed to be a complete lack of a plan, a city plan, which means that groups are neither being consulted about what they want, nor are they being included in decision making. Now, that's very suspect.
I saw that most clearly, Allison, where I was at one of the workshops too. I kind of workshop hopped from one to the other, and the one I ended up in was run by Sandy Brown, who's actually a good member of the CPRB, who's trying to make changes. But even she had to be very careful, and the whole thing was phrased very abstractly, as you put it, academically.
Oh, yeah.
And I tried to, you know, give a little life to it by making some specific political references and saying, you know, that you have a situation where one member says, well, we've had meetings with our council members every month in terms of, you know, there's a meeting where we assess how far they've gone. I say, yes, you have private meetings where only the inner circle is invited in the house of Ruth Hunter, who specifically bars people or has reportedly made them unwelcome if they're not a member of the inner circle and they're not announced, the times are not announced.
Absolutely.
So this is all
horseshit.
Illegal? Sorry?
Isn't that illegal?
It's not illegal unless you have more than three. If you have four, that's considered a violation of the Brown Act. If you have three, I mean, there were four people there, for instance, but they were kind of going to different workshops. And I mean, I think people should be allowed to participate. Allison?
Oh, yeah, that's different, though.
Yeah.
I think the meeting in someone's house.
It is.
Yeah. I wanted to say that I brought this up in the workshop I was in as well about, you know, what are the structures? What are the current structures, formal structures? What structures are in place so that local people can inform policy, inform policymakers about the effect that those policies are having on their life, in particular things like homelessness. And it wasn't addressed, it wasn't even answered. It was like, oh, that's an interesting point. Anybody else got anything else to say?
Yeah. It's like Catherine Bio, she'll say, okay, your 2 minutes are up, thank you very much.
Yeah.
And she moves on to the next person. You know, what I would like to suggest in the activist spirit is, it sounds like Allison and you, Martha, too, and I know we're not letting you talk, I think we should let you talk, Martha, and I'm going to shut up in a moment, should consider organizing a conference. If you can get enough people who are interested in doing this, I think that it would be really a wonderful thing to have people from Free Radio Santa Cruz, from Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, from activist groups in the Beach Flats, from people in Watsonville, from people at the trailer park that you're a part of, and other people who are not having problems in terms of tenant problems, Tenants' Rights Union of Santa Cruz, all organize a massive conference to really discuss these issues and give them some real play. Someone with your professional skills, Allison, could do this in a wonderful way.
Yeah, sure.
I like the idea. What do you think, Martha? And I know you have some thoughts you've been trying to express and we've been babbling on. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I totally agree that's true, and that we should do that, and I think that Allison would be wonderful, and I would definitely be more than willing to assist her in any way that I could in planning it and in organizing it, because I think it's really important. Like I said at the SCAN conference, I would be willing to volunteer my time doing childcare, you know, because I'd do just about anything to get this stuff going and get people organized, because we need to get, like, the people that are unrepresented organized, because the people that are represented are organized right now. And that's what I saw at SCAN. It was people that are already there, and they're just organizing more, you know. And to me, when that Rotkin fellow started saying that, you know, that the police were basically in the right in abusing people, I was really disappointed that that's what the city council and, you know,
You didn't hear anybody on the panel disputing that. You didn't hear anybody saying, we need some real checks or concerns about the police. You didn't hear anybody saying, the thing about Rotkin, and of course nobody who was listening to this show probably was there except the three of us, because they're probably either there or they're not listening to the show. But what happened was, this again is all about this May 22nd incident, and Mike Rotkin had gave a long email in response to a demand from somebody in another state that said, why are your police beating people up? Instead of saying something reasonable like, well, I would have preferred he said, we're looking into it immediately and we're going to see what we can do about it, which would be the best response. But if he wants to be neutral, he could say something like, the matter is under investigation and I can't really tell you right now because I don't have any first-hand information, which is true.
There you go.
Instead, he gave this lengthy email attacking the protesters as though he had somehow gotten all the information he needed and had his own position that he was putting out as the policy of the city. But the worst of all is that the mayor was in the audience and so were two other council members, and they had nothing to say on the other side of that. And their members on the Citizens Police Review Board, I should say, at least Byers' member, who is the key member, Lisa Rose, the woman I was circulating this petition about, is voting to stonewall the whole thing and throw it over to the police department to, as you know, the wolf in the chicken coop, the fox in the chicken coop, to, you know, to judge itself whether the blood on their lips is actually chicken blood or maybe just some dental problem. You know?
Yeah, well, I would definitely like to replace Lisa Rose as well as the child care.
Right. Well, you know, I guess I'm wondering, do either of you have a phone number that you would like to give out for people who are interested in an alternate conference for alternate action? Do you have an answering machine?
I would be willing to give out my home phone number, if that's okay with you, Allison.
And Allison, what are you saying?
Yeah, I'm going to give out mine as well. And I have a mobile. I can give out my mobile number.
Sure. Why don't we give a couple numbers for folks who find this an interesting idea? If you're an individual and you would like to participate in or help to create this conference, if you are, if you can facilitate this in any way, give a call to...
My number is 831-818-3675.
818-3675, and that's... Allison
Spillers.
And Martha, your number is?
469-3455, and that's the 813 area code.
Mm-hmm. And then Martha?
469-3455.
And for those who haven't got those numbers but who remember the old favorite, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and I'll put you in touch with either Martha, Allison, or both. And Allison?
Yeah, if people want to email as well, if they have access to email, that might be another way to make contact. My email address is allisons@redshift.com.
Spell the last.
It's REDSHIFT.
Redshift.com. Allison, ALLISONS, at Redshift, REDSHIFT.com. We're talking to Allison and Martha. And Martha, any other things you noticed about the conference that you think, any particular details you think that might amuse or provoke us?
Provoke, I like that. I thought it was kind of a... there was something that Allison noticed as well, you kind of mentioned it earlier, when people had their time to say something, they were being cut off a lot, and it seemed like the three people that came, one of them was from Arcadia, I think, the other one was from Seaside?
Right, Neil Mason, the black former council member from Seaside, and I guess Jennifer from Arcata, a Green Party person. These, of course, were the only persons you'd call progressive or even conceivably radical.
Exactly.
And they were all from out of town.
Exactly, that was my point.
Right.
You know, they were great, and I wanted to tell them, you know, if they were interested in taking Rotkin's seat, I would definitely put my vote with them.
And again, the problem, even with people who are out of town, it's interesting, you can often be a radical from out of town, but when you go back to that person's hometown, you find that they aren't so radical after all, and that they're doing the same kind of stonewalling and shuffling and political manipulating that we're concerned about here. I mean, to get real radicals, you often need people who are out of power.
Yeah,
right? It's rarely the case that radicals get into power in any clear way. I mean, it happens, but it doesn't happen for long, usually, and they quickly become part of the establishment.
That's kind of frightening to me, because one of my callings, in a sense, is to go into politics and represent the underrepresented, one of them being children. I really don't feel that children are treated fairly in our country at all. And I don't know, there's just a lot of things that I really don't like. So if I enter politics, it's like I'm looking at that ugly circle and I might have to get in there. But what's going to happen to me? I'm not going to last long. Someone's going to pay to have me picked off, or, you know, I'm going to end up getting sucked into it. And it's really scary because I want to be involved, but I'm afraid of that. All three of those alternatives are kind of ugly to me.
Well, I think the fourth alternative is to form
a new government,
powerful coalitions in the neighborhood with people who are really concerned about those issues, to spread the word about empowering people around those issues. And, you know, the faces in power don't matter. It is whether the people at the bottom are organized to demand what needs to be done by the people in power. They need to be essentially, most of the time they need to be dumped, but they certainly constantly need to be reminded of what they need to do, and not just reminded, controlled. And,
right.
And maybe that's what we can do with it. If this conference that we're talking about as an idea actually takes a step forward, again, we're talking to Martha, you want to give your last name, Martha?
Hollis, H-O-L-L-I-S.
And Martha Hollis's number is 469-3455, is that right?
Yes, it is.
And that's a number you can call if you want to help create a truly activist social conference where we can really discuss issues of changing how police are controlled, changing how landlords and profiteers are able to control our economy locally. Large developers can control vast amounts of how the public policy, how homeless people are mistreated, how children get and working people and
women of color.
Women of color and men of color and,
of color.
You know, everybody who isn't a member of the privileged economic elite get treated. Again, the number for Martha is 469-3455. For Allison, it is 818-3675. And,
you know, I wanted to mention one other thing about that conference.
Sure.
I went to one of the second workshops, and I was really disappointed because it was pretty clear that Lady Jennifer from Arcadia made it, you know, she actually said it sounds like what people are saying is not what have we done to, you know, do things proactively, because I wanted to, you know how to be proactive in politics. You know, it was moving from opposition to proactive politics,
mm-hmm.
and I wanted to get proactive.
Mm-hmm.
So what they were discussing was things that they've done in the past that were, quote, proactive, I guess, right? But the lady said, well, it sounds to me like everyone's saying how, not so much what, but how can we do it? And they didn't even seem to, like, swerve that way. They just went straight forward with the way they were doing it. And it was like a suggestion where she asked the whole group. The whole group agreed, yeah, that's what we want, and they still didn't give it to us.
Right.
You know, and I ended up leaving that workshop also because my daughter was having a hard time. It would have been nice to have childcare, but I didn't want to be there so much anymore when I saw that happen.
Well, I was distressed generally. I wasn't really distressed. I came expecting very little, and I pretty much what I saw was what I